Hello, welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Ronizone Media and Ronizone.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, back to the show. And now, on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast First Thoughts. We have just watched Skin Deep. And what did you think of the episode?
Oh my God. I'm trying really hard to contain myself. Mm-hmm. My original favorite up to this point has been Desperate Souls, but not anymore. Skin Deep is by far my favorite of all the episodes. So many amazing parts to this. Mm-hmm. So many. Oh my God. Oh my God.
And right off the bat, I need to say I was wrong. My prediction did not come to pass.
What prediction?
I thought we were going to see a little bit of see Ernst Harth as the burly man.
No.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I was wrong.
Yeah.
So.
But that's okay.
Anyhow, let's dig in and.
Yeah.
We'll get into some geeky stuff and then some other stuff. I saw a bird fly to the past the Belle's father's kingdom
castle, yeah, whatever.
So,
little village,
yeah. And then, so I believe Belle's father, whatever his name was, I don't know at this point, said that they had a promise of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if Midas had anything to do with that.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Maybe so, he had struck a deal with Midas at some point in time.
Because that was really important to King George. So right. I would imagine that it's right. important to every king in the area.
Well, I mean, gold is kind of, you know, a necessity for most people.
Yep.
Not Rumpy.
Right. So let's kind of talk about these deals, right? Okay. So a lot of the deals are spoken deals.
Yes.
There's no handshake.
Nope.
It's a all lot verbal. Of the times.
It's verbal.
Some of them he signs, right?
Sure.
But there's all kinds of different deals, and that's the one thing at least I wanted to get out.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. But he loves a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
He loves any deal, actually.
So Mary Margaret had a book, and she said she just wanted to see how it ends.
Yeah, which was very Beauty and the Beast. That was pretty much how the beginning of the Beauty and the Beast goes. The Disney cartoon, of course.
I saw the Cap Man again.
The Cap
Man? The man in the cap who was sitting at the little bar there. Oh, or the little.
Yeah. See, when you said that.
Soda shop-ish thing in front of the red drink and the yellow drink and I think the purple drink.
Okay.
There's three drink canisters there.
Yes. But when you said Cap Man, I thought you said Cat Man.
No.
And I'm like, who's a cat
man? The man in the cap is one of the blog posts and he goes around and he looks in the little slot for the change in the payphone.
Oh, okay, that guy.
That guy. That I really guy. Feel bad for the guy. He has to hunt for change in the payphone in Granny's. The Cap Man.
Maybe he's just doing it for fun. Maybe it's just, you know.
No, there's a blog post about it over there. Once Upon a Time Podcast. Go take a look.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
So, so Sean works at the cannery.
Yes. Which is, well, that means there's food and fishing.
Right. So the cannery must not be too far from the rabbit hole which is where the girls were drinking.
We're drinking. Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So there, we have a link to a Google view of the rabbit hole.
Nice.
On our Storybrooke map. onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, the rabbit hole. That's kind of funny.
Yep, and it's around the back of the Per Deck shoe store.
Okay.
So, yeah. And, but yeah, he said he was on break and he just kind of popped over.
Well, he wanted to see her. So. He wanted to see her. And, yep. And I thought it was funny that, you know, the whole thing, she's like so upset, you know, stressing out the baby and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, and then he shows up out of nowhere.
Can I just say again?
Yeah.
You know, other folks are kind of concerned about, you know, what Ruby wears. I am not. I think Ruby could wear anything.
She is a striking.
She is very beautiful.
Beautiful girl. She
and
is.
And this is my wife here, and I'm saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm, because look, I was having little Twitter patience the whole episode over Mr. Gold and Rumpelstiltskin. Then.
So
you're welcome to fawn over Ruby tonight.
So this town is so safe that a neighbor can look out of a window and see an open door and call the police. I mean, they're just looking and seeing an open door and calling the police.
That's what the report was. But remember, Emma was, she was in the Granny's Diner with the girls talking when she got the call from the office. Who's calling her from the office?
Mm-hmm.
Who else works in the office? So if somebody got that call from somewhere.
Right.
And if Regina knew that the cup was missing, Chip.
Yep.
Which, again, so Beauty and the Beast, which is awesome. Do you think maybe Regina is actually the one who made the phone call?
Possibly.
I'm just thinking. Because she knew if she could get, you know, the two of them in the same room, maybe she orchestrated to have him put in jail. I don't know.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. And by the way, what's your name? OMG.
Well, now we're skipping toward the end.
Okay, well, let's not do that. Well, we started talking about that. Anyway, go ahead.
I understand.
All right, so go where you want to go.
So we see a Minotaur head.
Minotaur, yes.
Minotaur head in Fairy Tale Land and in Storybrooke.
Yes.
And we're now seeing things that are directly in both worlds.
Absolutely. Well, because I saw in both his castle in Fairy Tale World, because let's face it, it was a castle. I saw the puppets, the Pinocchio's parents' puppets.
I saw a wizard's hat.
Oh, Merlin, maybe.
Toward the end.
Oh, interesting.
It could be Merlin. I was thinking it could be the Sorcerer's Apprentice as well.
Well, and I saw Cogsworth in his Fairy Tale World castle clock, but then I didn't really see it in his home, but I did see Lumiere. Mm-hmm. Candelabra.
Yeah.
And
there was a sword.
The sword, which I wonder if that was James's sword or is that Arthur? So maybe we're going to see something from the Arthurian legend, maybe?
Well, anything's possible.
And then, let's see. What else did I notice that was really interesting?
You said a unicorn painting or something.
Oh, yes. I don't know the name of it, but there is, it's a pretty well-known Russian painting. And it's actually, I don't think it's a painting. I think it's an... Like a tapestry.
Okay.
And it's a dark background and it's a white unicorn that's fenced in and it's very well known. I'd have to look it up, but that was hanging in his castle.
Yep.
The fact that she was up on the ladder and she was pulling down the curtains, that was very Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Although in that case, it was that he was pulling away the curtains or the dust covers to show her the library.
Well, I'm going to skip ahead to the end. This is going to be hodgepodge, folks, so just hang on.
Sorry.
We're going to be skipping around.
We're going to have to. Cause...
There was a point where he was yelling at the mirror.
Yes.
And I thought that he was yelling at the magic mirror because he said, "You turn her against me." Da-da-da-da-da. And that's what I thought. I thought he may have been talking to the magic mirror,
really?
Kind of, you know, whatever.
You know, because what I realized was that it was kind of like, to me, It was the, remember in Spider-Man, was it Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 1? Spider-Man 1. Remember in the original Spider-Man with, you know, where Willem Dafoe was looking in the mirror and he was really talking to the goblin.
Right. The
The evil nature of himself.
Yep.
That's what I immediately thought of. He was talking to himself.
Okay.
That's just what I came back with. And oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So then we saw the Belle's father in Fairy Tale Land.
Yes.
And we saw the physical doppelganger, if you will, in Storybrooke.
Right.
Mo French,
which,
and
by
you
the
were
way,
talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Mo, which is a nickname for the name Maurice, who happens to be Belle's father's name in the Disney cartoon.
The Beast.
Yeah. And which I thought was interesting, because in the Disney movie, he is an inventor. He's a kind of a little crazy little inventor dude. And here they made him a florist, which, of course, the Enchanted Rose, right, that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And they had a couple little variations. I thought they did a really good job of incorporating that information and that type of stuff into this episode. I was actually very happy with the way they handled it. And I hope that, I know some other people were really concerned, and hopefully they liked it too. I think it was an amazing episode.
Yeah, and I'm going to skip back.
Okay.
Again, this is just hang on, people. I'm going to skip back because Rumpelstiltskin did do a kind of a David Blaine magic trick.
Oh, he totally did.
Where
that was
they
awesome.
Open the door, he's not there, and then he's behind them, sitting in a chair.
That whole thing. That was so awesome. I loved it.
It was interesting. Because Mr. Gold said bad things happen to bad people.
Yep.
And to me, it was a stark black and white justice statement that was very opposite from the kind of mealy mouth mishmash of Mary Margaret kind of saying, well, no, it's okay if you do a bad thing. It's for a good reason and da 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 and all this. But, you know, in this episode, it was very, you know, bad people deserve bad things, and that's it. And
well,
so
I think he's such a complex character now. We've seen so many sides of him, and I think what I think he really is trying to say is he made the mistake. He thought he was doing something good, and at that point in time, I think is where he really realized it was a big mistake. Should never have done it. Even if it was for the right reason. And now I deserve whatever punishment I'm getting. Mm-hmm. My heart absolutely broke for him when he realized that she actually did care about him. And he ended up turning her against him. Oh my gosh.
Well, I wanted to kind of talk about, to me, the psychological thing of watching when she was ripping down the curtains.
Yes.
And that moment kind of flashed back to the Evil Queen when she said, I need the hair from the darkest souls. And Belle wanted to bring the light in.
Yes.
And, you know, later on in the episode, she mentioned that he had an empty heart.
Yes.
And, you know, she was trying to let love in, let light in. You know, and then there was
she saw the good in him. Do you know what I'm saying? She saw that, but then she couldn't break through for some reason.
You know, and the kiss began to change him, but he didn't want to change.
No,
you know,
I don't think it's that. Okay. I really don't think it was that he didn't want to change. I think he really truly didn't believe that he could, that it could really actually happen, that it was that easy. Because here's the reality of it. Belle made the mistake of talking about, kiss me again, it's working. What she should have told him was, no, I love you first, and then kissed him, and then that would have made a difference. But because she kind of brought the curse up, and the fact that it was going to change the curse, and then he asked you, how did you know that? Because very few people knew that.
Well,
so that's what I'm saying. I think that if she had used a different choice of words, and I'm not blaming her because, I mean, like, she was all excited thinking, you know, that maybe once he changed, he'd realize what was going on. And I think it was just a poor choice of words on her part that made him realize that he really didn't believe it could happen. And then when he realized that she was, after he started to see the change, and then he realized she was doing it like as if she was basically paid to do it. I think that's what like made him close up again.
Right. Well, I think that the loss of his wife and his child.
Oh, yeah.
I think he walled around his heart.
Oh, very much.
And
so.
Lowered the expectations of life and love and all that and just said, no, to heck with it. I'm not. It's not going to happen. And then, you know, and then he starts to make these statements like, I'm a difficult man to love. No one can ever love me. That kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so you start to kind of make these, you know, proclamations. And then that's how you kind of walk out your life.
Right.
By those types of things.
Because he really wanted it, but he didn't believe it could actually happen.
Yeah. Well,
because, I mean, he was a good man before that. We know he was. We saw how he was before. So I think what it was is I think it kind of came to that whole point of, you know, and I've heard this happens actually with soldiers sometimes too. They're good people. They go to war and they do things over there that they would never do under any other circumstances. And because they kind of don't have a choice and they're forced to do those things, it really impacts them and affects them and makes them really very, it changes them. And I see that that's what happened with him is that he, you know, in his mind, he was going to control the dark one originally and make that one fix everything so that the kids were safe and save his son. And then when he ended up becoming the dark one himself, he realized he was going to have to do all the dirty deeds that the dark one had been doing that he didn't want to do. Because again, that's why he ran from the Ogre War. That's just my thoughts.
And I think too, ordinary man was kind of said a couple of times.
Yes.
And you know, what's interesting about a fairy tale is there's really no ordinary man. There's an ordinary person that is transformed somehow or takes on a great task and achieves something great or something like that. Or, you know, somebody becomes dark and takes on dark power and changes or something.
Mm-hmm.
But ordinary man is kind of boring to the normal world, right?
Sure.
But you know, there is, when you take on these powers, there's a lot that comes with it. You know, magic comes with a price, but also all these powers and all this is a burden. I mean, if you look at the genie, that's what he was saying is, you know, I'm granting everybody else wishes, but not me.
Right.
You know, and the dark one and so-so and all this, it's one thing. I want that power, but then you get it and it's like, ugh, it's too much. So anyway, ordinary man.
I did too. I did too.
And I think Belle said, "I want to know you."
Yes.
And that's another interesting thing about this is there's all these facades of all these people.
Oh yeah.
But then there's the reality of it, you know. And we'll get to a scene at the end where I think, you know, the layers are pulled back and we really get to see the reality. But, you know, no one is truly exposed who they really are.
No,
you know, I think there's a front and it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's just, you know, you got to go to work. You don't want to go to work, but you got to go. You know what I mean? It's that kind of a thing. And so the reality of who someone is, you know, people are very, you know, and that's what Belle was saying about love is it's, you know, there's layers to it. Right.
Right.
So anyway, that was, Rumpelstiltskin said, no, you want to get to know me to know the monster's weakness.
Right.
And so,
but he was kind of teasing her when he said that, because he really truly felt that she wasn't going to turn and, you know, betray him. And that's what I think, you know, he saw that genuine kindness in her, that genuine, you know, I think the fact that she volunteered to go, even if they said after the, no, it can't happen. She made the deal on her own. She knew what she was doing. And, you know, I think that impressed him and kind of surprised him a little bit. That's what I think threw him off.
Well, and that's something that kind of veers off where we're talking, but a lot of people say, I kind of don't believe the episode because things happen so fast. They have an hour. They have a lot of things they got to get through.
Well,
you know, especially True North, people were saying, well, you know, the father kind of, you know, decided pretty quickly that he was going to take the children back, or Belle decided pretty quickly that she would go and all that. And, you know, there's a story that needs to move forward. And there's also these decision points that have to be made.
Right. These are not real people.
Right.
They have, they're limited on time. And by the way, a lot of these episodes, we find out that it's been, you know, some time has passed between scenes. So for example, at one point in time, Belle goes, well, these last couple of months, I've learned blah, blah, blah. So the fact is, she, you know, when they get to that point, that whole relationship, the fact that she fell in love with him, that happened not overnight and not immediately. It took some time.
Right.
So
one of the things that shocked me was, okay, let's play a little quiz game with you.
Okay.
I know you may have not read the blog post, but let's talk about the colors of smoke.
Okay.
What does blue smoke mean?
Crikey. Blue smoke. I'm drawing a blank.
Okay, that's genie smoke.
That's right.
Okay, so
and it was something familiar, and I just
what is green smoke?
Green smoke wasn't that evil smoke?
That's when you throw a heart of a stag into the little fire pit, and the curse didn't work.
Oh, okay.
But what is black smoke with green tinges around it?
That's not curse smoke. Curse is smoke.
Yeah, that means the curse worked.
Okay.
And that's what rolled into the town.
Okay.
What does purple smoke mean?
Purple smoke. Wasn't that just moving transport?
That's sending people.
Yeah.
Okay. So we saw it with True North.
Yep.
That's what the queen used to send Hansel and Gretel, we believe, to
move herself
early
too.
Storybrooke and move herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rumpelstiltskin now used that purple smoke.
Yes.
To, I think, send Gaston to Storybrooke.
Oh. Oh, you're right. When he turned him into the rose, basically.
Yep. Well, no. He sent him and the rose dropped.
Oh, because Gaston had the rose.
Right.
Okay. Somehow I must have missed that because I was, anyway.
You were in a knitting haze.
Well, a little bit, but actually at that point, I don't think I was knitting yet. I think I was eating dinner, and so I was probably focusing on that.
So Belle saved her village.
She saved her village. Yes, she did. By going with him, because he promised that the ogre thing, he would take care of them and protect them from the ogres.
No, it seemed like she saved her village before or something.
So. Oh, you're talking, I don't remember that part.
Okay. The evil queen looked like something out of the Munsters. She had that weird black. It looked like a spider web. It looks like they probably have a number of them very similar at Bat Day at Disneyland.
Yes.
But she did look like a Lillian Munster kind of a thing with a black.
Yes.
Everything's black.
Yes.
And this weird and a spider webby umbrella. So.
Well, and she had the red streak in her hair, which would be like a black widow.
Right.
So at this point in time, she is a black widow.
Yeah. And
interesting.
You know, she loves to just kind of ride out and then pop out and, you know, just happen upon somebody on the road. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
I was going to say, where the heck was she going, man?
I don't know.
How did she just happen to be out riding on that road? You know what I mean?
So, True Love's Kiss, we heard that again.
Yep.
And, you know, there is something powerful about a True Love's Kiss.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen in Storybrooke that, Graham was not in love with Regina. There were kisses happened.
Tons of kisses.
Revealed things, but it wasn't True Love's Kiss.
No, so. Because he wasn't in love with her because she enslaved him. He was basically her love puppet.
It was interesting that Rumpelstiltskin was kind of waiting for Belle to return, sitting at the window, just kind of waiting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, because he let her go with the real true intent, I'm sure, of actually letting her go. Mm-hmm. And, but yet with the hope, the, just this faint little beat of hope that she would actually come back.
Yeah. So I am fairly certain that Rumpelstiltskin used magic to open the door and shut the door.
Jedi mind tricks.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So
I don't know.
So yeah, we mentioned the rabbit hole, and what was interesting though is Emma being the strong cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's all these kind of archetypes and different things that we've seen in this show, but now we sort of saw a police drama. You know, a female police woman, you know, kind of running in this house, you know, trying to find out.
She didn't run in.
Well,
she went in guns drawn.
Who burgled the house and what's going on.
Sure.
And then at the end, you know, kind of questioning Mr. Gold and then arresting him. That was probably one of my, except for the Ruby sightings and the purple smoke. The third was when she arrested Mr. Gold. That really was my favorite thing.
When she arrested him, I was like, what?
Yeah.
This ought to be interesting. And then when he was sitting there and she's trying to bribe him with pastrami, I think that was hilarious.
Yeah. So then we saw kind of a storybook version of the Evil Queen and the Rumpelstiltskin
jail cell thing.
Discussion.
But I loved that whole conversation was like, oh, I cannot believe that he actually admitted it.
Yeah. So
more confirmation. Sure, they both know who they are.
Yeah. And you know,
I love it.
And it was different because it was he, you know, the deal was you need to guess my name. And this time she was asking, what is your name?
She knew what his name was.
But
she
was just, trying to, yeah. You're right, right, right. Yep. And, but this time as well, after he said his name, then he was just like, I heard him, da, 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 Your Majesty.
So, missed the Majesty part.
So they had a kind of a trade off, you know, so they both kind of ratted each other out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yep. Which, let's face facts, we knew that was what was going to happen. Now, the cup was adorable. It was very cute. And it was very sweet. And did you get the significance of why he pulled that goblet off and put the cup there on that pedestal?
Well, was it a trophy or what?
I don't know if it was so much a trophy or, but I think it was his most treasured possessions.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I think.
Yep. There's a lot of really
interesting things that were very important to him.
Yeah.
Or significant.
Yep.
So, I thought that was very interesting.
So then we come into the final moments mm-hmm. of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked to me like there was a location that they filmed in Vancouver that was used for, I believe, the outer area of the hospital when Ashley was giving birth to her little baby.
Oh.
And I believe they used that again. For that initial section.
Oh, yeah.
But then she went down some stairs to the basement. What we think is, you know, kind of a mental ward or sanitarium or something.
Yep.
The nurse that was there reminded me visually of Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, totally.
And then when Regina was going down the hall, there was that tall guy with the long hair, and that kind of reminded me of the Indian gentleman. Native American gentleman that was in One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest kind of mopping the floor. So just tossing that out. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe. So.
Well, and the fact that Regina, Evil Queen, told Rumpelstiltskin that Belle jumped out of the tower and killed herself. He's like, you're lying.
Yeah.
He knows her well enough to know that she would say anything. So I'm sure he knows that she's alive. And I'm curious to know, though, what the deal is with the Mr. French's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw her.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, how'd she get in there?
Oh, okay. Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
How'd mm-hmm. she get in there? And what's the connection with Mr. Gold?
Yeah.
For a minute there when they were in... Okay, so when he was in the store, in Mr. Clark's store, and David is just so oblivious. Duct tape and rope? Come on.
Yeah. Right.
Such a cliche kidnapper's bag of tools right there. I mean, just crazy. But what cracked me up is... Well, what was interesting is there's a girl in there with... blonde curly hair in front, and for a minute I thought she was going to turn around and it'd be her. I really did. I thought it was going to be her.
Who?
Belle.
Oh. No, I think it was Alice.
Oh, that's a possibility.
So.
Could very well be her. Or Aurora, Sleeping Beauty.
Possibly, yeah.
But anyway.
So
we saw Sneezy again.
Yeah, we saw Sneezy.
That was good.
And we saw David make one of the biggest blunders.
OMG.
Of a man who thinks he can handle dating more ladies at the same time. And he blew it.
He blew
completely.
Chunks.
So, you know, anyway.
I got to tell you, I was, you know, just like, come on, dude, really? Really? Ugh.
But, you know, I'm Sammy Sunshine about the show, but I got to tell you, we need to give Ashley a little more range. I just, she's always kind of the sad kind of person, and I like to see something else. And it's nice to see a little bit of Cinderella.
Well, sure.
To kind of give the other side of things. But she, you know, she got her, he asked to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
She said yes. There you go.
Yeah, and that was all.
Ruby got some phone numbers from the guys at the bar. You know, all is well.
The proposal was a little cliche.
Right.
It was. I have to admit, it was a little cliche. But then that's part of their teenagers. Which, by the way, I'm sorry. Who served her the alcohol? What's the drinking age in Starbrook, man? Because it isn't 21, obviously.
Yeah, Natasha was mentioning something about that as well. That was the first thing that she noticed when that was part of the sneak peeks. So,
and Mary Margaret should know better than to let a teenage girl, a nursing mother of all things, drink like that. Come on.
Yep. So anyway, that's pretty much it. I have no more notes.
None?
That is it.
I will say this, the just, and you know, I mean, look, if I didn't have a little bit of a crush on him, I'd still say it. Robert Carlyle is amazing. That man is just ridiculously talented. And the tender moments, the sweet moments, the kiss was freaking awesome. From a female perspective, I'm sorry. Okay. That was a great kiss. But the anger and the just sheer, it kind of scared me a little when he was beating the crap out of... I thought he was going to kill that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
Yeah. Well, and now we know who lives, or at least who has access to that that cabin.
Yeah, nobody lives in the cabin. It's obviously it's an abandoned cabin somewhere in the woods. But that was the other thing I noticed is it was the same place where David and Mary Margaret did their little tryst thing. Accidental trysts,
right.
So to speak.
So that's it. That's our first thoughts for Skin Deep.
Which was amazing.
Please send your emails and your voicemails. And if you are out of the U.S. and you'd like to send in a voicemail, you can go to onceuponatimepodcast.com. Look on the right sidebar and you can click on a little link. And that will give you information of how to send your audio feedback or call using Skype to get your voicemail here. So anyway, that's it. Thanks so much for... let me try it again. Thanks so much for listening. And we will talk again soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
See you. Bye.